Next, we'll have Dr. Mozafari.
How can we get the pointer?
You can
choose.
Okay.
That.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Murtaza Mozafari. I'm with the Northeast Research and Extension Center at the University of Arkansas. First of all, I am very pleasantly surprised that there are so many people sitting here. I thought I am going to end up talking to myself. So thank you for being here. And the subject goes as a very important issue with all the challenges that we are facing price-wise, shortage of labor, and environmental concerns that we have. Let me just move to the next slide and take care of the what I call administrative issues. I appreciate the Agrium Wholesale support for this research and mention my disclaimer here about using a brand name. This is a sort of outline that I am going to follow. The research was conducted in Mississippi Delta region of Arkansas, and as most of you know, that these are predominantly alluvial soils, relatively flat land, and we have been producing crops there forever, 17th century. So we have depleted the native supply of a lot of nutrients. Cotton still is a strong crop. We produced about 300,000 acres of cotton in 2016. I showed this to bring it to everybody's attention, the fact that we don't have that much organic matter in our soils in Arkansas. My colleagues up in Midwest look at me as an environmental offender when I tell them that we have to apply a relatively high amount of nitrogen to produce our crops. And when they tell me, are you getting paid from the fertilizer industry, I'll tell them, no, but I'm trying to make sure that farmers are making some money here. Having said that, when you put nitrogen fertilizer on your soil, certain things happen. And that is, the applied nitrogen can be taken up by plant, or it can be lost by leaching. Or denitrification. Or by volatilization, particularly if we are talking about surface applied nutrients. So all of these processes contribute to what I call inefficiency or nitrogen use. And we all know that the Mississippi River watershed and all the soils, agricultural soils from that region, including Arkansas, are under scrutiny for contributing to hypoxic phenomena in the Gulf of Mexico. Essentially what they are saying is that you farmers are putting too much nitrogen there, and that's why we have hypoxia. Now, the debate about hypoxia is going to continue for the next five generations. I can promise you that. But one thing is fairly clear, and that's our responsibility as agricultural scientists, to come up with the ways to improve nitrogen use efficiency. Because we are going to do two things. One, increase the grower's profit. I know profit and agricultural production doesn't necessarily go together. A lot of talk to the farmers. And two, reduce the environmental impact or potential environmental impact. Because if we don't do that, people with degrees in public policy are going to try to tell us how to do farming. And believe me, I never go to my primary care physician and tell him what's wrong with my eyes. Doesn't make any sense, even though he's a great physician. Now, one of the BMPs that we have is the split application of nitrogen. The challenge there is it requires planning, equipment, labor, and time. And talk to any farmer in the Delta and they'll tell you, oh God, I wish I could come up with another way so I don't have to spend time in the second application. There is a new product coming into the market about 6 or 7 years ago. It's essentially a polymer-coated urea. Essentially what they do is they get a urea and molecule and wrap it in a polymer-coated, the same way that this candy or chocolate is wrapped in the coating. And what happens is water gets into this polymer coating and dissolves the nitrogen inside the polymer coating. Then the nitrogen moves with the time release process through the polymer coating and slowly becomes available into the soil solution, then it's available for plant. But what it does is it's controlling the rate of release. Rate of release is controlled by two factors, temperature and moisture. And those are the two factors which control plant growth. The objective was to look at the timing and rate of urea and ESN at multiple sites. The research was conducted at 4 site years, 2014-15. In 2016, I had 2 sites. Everything was done the normal application time. I had 6 treatments in 2014 and 2015 and 7 in 2016. Everything else was applied at the recommended rate. 5 to 6 replication, statistical analysis standard. Measurements, in the 2016 we measured the nodes above the white flower at 2 dates. And the reason for that is we measure nodes above the white flower to see where it's getting to 5 nodes above the white flower, because that's when cotton says, I'm stopping. I'm going to go and make seeds. Treatments. We had 0 urea split application. This is the standard practice. 60 pounds of nitrogen pre-plant and 45 pounds of urea nitrogen in a split, which gave us 90. Then we had 60 pounds, 1 single application of ESN, 90 pounds, single application of ESN, and in 2016, we added the 7th treatment. All treatments were applied to the surface, all pre-plant, and then was incorporated. If there was a case when we added the fertilizer during the season, such as for the citrus, for urea, we incorporated it with the cultivator. Of course, at the remote station, we had to do it with the rake. That's a good experience. Now, let's look at the yields. I'm going to start about 2014 yield. For the non-believers in the use of fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer, I refer them to the yield for the 1320 seed cotton yield. Now, if anybody can make money with that kind of yield, please let me know. I have a business proposal. What I want you to look at it here is that, first of all, you look at the 60 pound per acre yield, and obviously what we are seeing is that we are not getting there. Doesn't matter whether you use urea or ESN, you're just running out of nitrogen. When you look at the 90 pound per acre, the picture gets better. And The important point to keep in mind is a single application of ESN nitrogen produces the yields which are competitive or statistically not different than a split application of urea. Of course, we don't see that much of a difference at 90 pounds per acre between urea and ESN either. But remember, that's split urea as opposed to single application of ESN. Let's go to 2015. We moved into another site, sandier soil. And again, the same story for the non-believers. You cannot produce an economically sustainable yield in old soils if you do not use nitrogen fertilizer. Unless you have one of those magic compounds that you can add 4 drops and boost up your yield to 500,000. You need to apply nitrogen fertilizer in this region. Again, the same trait that I'm seeing here is that the 60 pounds per acre is not making it regardless of nitrogen source. 90 pounds per acre does a great job. The same thing that we saw at the other side. There was no significant difference between 90 and 110 unit regardless of the source, but one single application of ESN produced yields that were not significantly different than a split application of urea. Let's move to 2016. I went back to the same sandy soil that I had used the previous year, but this was on the same soil, but not the same site. Look at the trend again. Don't make it with 1,800 pounds. 60 unit is not enough. 90 unit does a good job. Yields at 90 unit are not significantly different than yields at 110 unit. Again, we see the same story. Split application of ESN, not significant, single application of ESN, not significantly different than split application of urea. Now, at about that time, I started thinking, well, this is a little bit too much of a black box approach. So in 2016, we started counting nodes above the white flower at 2 dates. 73 DAP stands day after plant, and 85 DAP. The interesting thing to me was that when you look at the 0 or 60 pounds of nitrogen, you see two things. Number one, 0 seems to be getting very close to the cutout at 73 or 85 days. Remember, our goal is to have 5 nodes above the white flower. Looks like these guys have made it to cut out very early. Same story with 60 unit of nitrogen. Plant cotton figure says, I don't have any more nitrogen. I'm going to produce seed. Because that's what cotton plant is supposed to do by evolution. Now, the next thing to look at is, you look at the urea at 110, well, it's keeping close to 5 nodes above the white flower, or urea to 90, and ESN of 90. These plants seem to be the ones that receive enough nitrogen, seem to be going to call out a little bit later, which translates to the fact that they are producing more balls. And that confirms the yield data that I showed. That's explaining why we are getting those yields. Does that mean how much more time do I have? Okay, sounds good to me. Now, the other side on a clay soil, we look at it in 2016. Again, we are seeing the same trends. You need nitrogen, 60 unit doesn't do it regardless of how you apply it. 90 unit does it. Split application of urea was not significantly different than single application of ESN. I'll go to the day at the maturity date, day after planting, and notes about the wild flower at 85 days, it's the same trend. Zero nitrogen cuts out early, doesn't produce much. Let me go to the conclusion. Obviously, you get to earlier cutout when you are not using nitrogen. Days to cutout is not different between the two-way split of urea and one-way split of ESN, which is consistent with the yield. Nitrogen application effect overall, just a sort of broad stroke. Zero control, that's all yields, and if you look at all the nitrogen-treated plants, the yields are 2,000 to 3,300 pounds per acre of seed cotton yield. Let me go to timing and source. Again, two-way split produces this yield range. Whether you have 90 or 110 units, single application of ESN produced that yield, and single application of ESN did not produce yields that were significantly lower than a split application of urea nitrogen. I think the take-home message at this point is single application of ESN at an agronomically reasonable rate. That's the key concept there. Can be a potential substitute for split application of urea. We are going to continue working on this. And these are the three of the things which I have on my calendar to look into it next year. Obviously, we have about 300 soil types in Arkansas, and data from 4 site years is not enough. Remember, we are dealing with farmers' pocket money. So we better have good data to tell them do this. We're going to increase our plant monitoring because there is a lot that we need to look over there and elucidate mechanisms of what is happening and what we are seeing, how we can manipulate this. And of course, as in any other list, you have the other ideas, and all of us can come up with a lot of ideas. Being scientists, we all have great imaginations. So that's going to be the plan. I think I will stop at this point, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Any questions? I do not have any plant uptake data. I have some leaf data. I wish I had some uptake data, but it's just too labor intensive, and it's costing me $10 with $12 per sample to get one single nitrogen sample tested. That's a problem, but we're doing the best we can with the money. No, it's just the cost of analysis. And remember, We live in the time and age that you can get funding to look at the effect of anything on the life of a snail, but you don't get money from federal government or almost anywhere else to look at what nitrogen is doing to our crops. I don't know if I answered your question, Kevin, but... Any other questions? Oh, thanks again. I appreciate it.